Get him.
Welcome, folks. Y'all come on in and make yourself at home. This here? Well, this is the Rolling Thunder Podcast, your home for all things Rolling Thunder. This episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast is presented by Mossy Oak Camouflage, because everything is better in Bottomland. And Lucky Duck Premium Decoys, masters of deception.
Welcome to another episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast.
What's happening, buddy?
Man, I tell you, one of the benefits of being on the show when people can't see us is it seems like it's nice and easy, and we both came in on two wheels today.
Yeah, and let's not miss the fact that we both have a face made for radio.
So this is true.
Speak for yourself, Smith. Okay, I am. Kind of look washed up today, personally. Feel like I've been beat up.
Oh, man. Well, joining us today, we have a special guest from Kent Cartridge. We're excited to host Jeff Berry on the show.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, are you on the line?
Hey, I'm right here, guys. How are you?
Man, awesome. I'm so glad that you're joining us. For everybody back home, Jeff's going to tell us all about Kent, but I just want to brag on you for just a second. I really appreciate the fact that you guys have believed in us and what we're doing at Rolling Thunder kind of from the first time that we spoke. And we met a couple years ago, I guess. We were at Rogers together, right?
Yes, that's right. We were at Rogers after one of their big events there got introduced through a mutual friend in the industry and started getting to know each other there.
Yeah. Well, it's always a reminder to me of just, you know, relationship is what makes the world go round. And I remember coming back from that particular trip and my wife said, you know, was it good? Was it a productive time? Whatever. And I said, yeah, you know, it really was. Through a couple different people got to meet the folks from Kent and I think that's going to be a really good partnership. And it has been. I mean, not only are y'all great to work with, you make a pretty decent shotgun shell.
Well, we try to do both for sure, and that's great to hear. And what you guys are doing is just amazing. It really aligns with what we do here at Kent Cartridge. So couldn't be better for us.
Well, good. Tell us, give us a rundown of who are you, what do you do at the company, and like maybe, you know, a short history of Kent.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So, Jeff Berry here. I'm the vice president of sales and marketing. So I'm responsible for the sales and marketing efforts in North America for our brand. And Kent Cartridge, we've been around for over 20 years now. And I like to tell this story because I think we're capturing a new generation of customer and end user who's purchasing our products and really don't know the story. And how Kent was started was by a group of hunters, really good friends who, right when non-toxic mandates came out in the 90s, both in the U.S. and Canada, they were really disappointed with the performance of the first non-toxic loads, the steel shot shells. Yeah, I'm too young really to remember, but talk to anyone who had to make that switch. It was atrocious.
Well, you're probably... You and I are similar in age in the sense that we both were sitting around duck camps back then hearing the old men gripe about it.
That is exactly right. We never got to see it firsthand, or I didn't, but yeah, heard about it. But this is a group of really successful individuals in various industries who just, they didn't like, they felt it was unethical, the amount of birds they were wounding, and they just said there had to be a better way. Mm-hmm. They were sitting around duck camp. They finally, a number of them got together and started a company. They had a line on a product on a metal alloy with tungsten and polymer that could be blended to about any density and softness out there. And so, well, why don't we try to mimic lead? Because tungsten polymer is non-toxic. And that's what they did. And it created a product called Tungsten Matrix. And that's our legacy product. And what's interesting is I still think it's our best product. It mimics lead exactly. The shot does. We started out with that product over 20 years ago, and it's a niche product because tungsten's expensive. Not everyone can shoot it, and so they said, "Well, let's load steel." I said, "Well, steel doesn't work." And one of the individuals at Kent said, "Yeah, it will if you make it go fast." And Kent was the one that pioneered speed technology. And over 20 years ago, we developed speed technology for steel shot shells, and it still rings true today. And we like to say our steel loads are often imitated but never duplicated. And that's right. We understand the internal ballistics, understand how to make those loads go fast and consistently and safely, safe pressures and in all weather conditions. So we really were the first ones to pioneer that speed technology. And it all started with a group of guys sitting around duck camp wanting a better product. And then that entrepreneurial spirit really lives in Kent today. We're loaded in Kearneysville, West Virginia. So all Kent products are loaded in the USA. And every one of our products, even from the closest thing that we have to an opening price point product all the way to Tungsten Matrix, which is the absolute top of the pyramid, it's designed to give hunters or shooters an edge in the field. Sometimes the differences are subtle, but everything has a point of difference, and that's what sets us apart from the rest.
Yeah, well, time out just for a second, though. So you're saying the first shell that y'all rolled out with was not steel. I didn't know that.
Right, it was our Tungsten Matrix product. Yeah. That's our legacy product, and it was revolutionary.
No kidding.
It's still the only shell or only shot that mimics the ballistic and physical properties of lead, but is non-toxic. If you shoot tungsten matrix, it is exactly like shooting lead. It's just non-toxic and legal, and it's a great product. The problem right now at the price of tungsten is you don't even want to see that stuff go out the end of a shotgun barrel.
Yeah.
So we've had other products, bismuth, which we can talk about here, as well as another premium product that's a little more affordable for most folks, but. Our first product was that Tungsten Matrix, and it was a very revolutionary product at the time, and it still is.
That's wild. I mean, I'm ashamed that I didn't know that, Jeff, but that's – I'm kind of sitting here mind blown, like, got to pick my jaw off the floor. I mean, so how does – I'm going to rabbit trail for just a second because I'm so interested in that, but rank like – kind of describe the differences between, from lead – to steel and the other things that are popular that you hear talked about, like bismuth and matrix, and then like throw in their TSS. Like, where does all that stuff rank compared to one another?
Absolutely. So we use the baseline lead before it was banned in terms of using it for migratory birds. It has a density of 10.8 grams per cubic centimeter. Okay. Steel is less dense than lead. It's 7.8, 7.9. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you have TSS, which is all the way to 18.
Okay.
Okay. And very dense. There's some advantages to TSS, and then there's some shortcomings. One of the shortcomings is with TSS, it's harder than barrel steel. So you need to design it. It's a great turkey load because you don't have to push it so fast and
turkeys are typically standing still.
It's not going to score a barrel. It might not always make the best waterfowl. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I guess the challenge there, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I guess the challenge there is kind of that the volume to density kind of ratio is pretty much the shot size dictates that, but the more dense it is, the more knockdown, the more carry, the more velocity you can kind of put behind it with the same load.
You're exactly right, so the higher the density, the greater retained velocity and energy. But then there's also an aspect that gets overlooked a lot of times, and that's the relative softness of the product. So take a pair of needle nose pliers and try to squeeze a steel pellet. You're not going to change its shape. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not going to change the shape of a TSS pellet, but do that with lead. Okay, it flattens out.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happens there, one of the reasons why lead hits so hard
is because it flattens out.
Dumps all that energy into product.
Yeah, right. Energy transfer,
Exactly. So when you're talking about a product for non-toxic and migratory birds, our tungsten matrix, it does just that. It's as dense as lead, okay, and then it flattens out and dumps all that energy in there. So it actually may have better ballistic or terminal performance on a game bird, say, than a product with higher density and, mm-hmm. and hard, okay, that might zip right through it. Bismuth, it's a little bit less dense than lead, but it's as soft as lead. So it's certainly an advantage over steel in its density, and it's got that softness where it's going to dump all that energy into your target there, and it hits those birds like a freight train. So our tungsten matrix, which is a lead clone, very expensive right now. It's but now our bismuth, which is almost as good in terms of performance, it's much more affordable, and that's really where a lot of that volume is going mm-hmm. right now, and that's one of our most popular product lines out there.
That's crazy. I mean, I said I was mind blown, and I'm going to say it again because I'm a little embarrassed there, but I have not thought about it that way. You know, TSS is what everybody's talking about in turkeys and stuff, and it's the hot topic, but the combination of the pliability of the, or the softness, as you said, of the material, and then the ability to fly fast and the speed, because one of the things I remember everybody talking about lead was how much they had to lead. You know, you shot lead different than you shot steel. Like I remember my dad saying, you know, you could kill a duck further with lead, but you had to lead him, you know, a school bus because it was slow getting there. And so
yeah,
I guess like the one of the benefits of the matrix or the bismuth is it's going to fly faster than lead, but still hit, you know, not as fast as steel, but still hit hard like lead. Is that kind of, am I getting that right?
Yeah, in a way. So the lead loads back then were not loaded all that fast. Okay.
Okay.
We push our bismuth and our tungsten matrix a little faster than traditional lead loads. And so they're starting out faster and they're going to stay faster. Okay. If you take something with equal density, like lead and tungsten matrix, if you start it faster, it'll stay faster. Okay. So it's kind of in between. We have to push our steel much faster because of its density shortcoming. So our steel at the top end of velocity, then where we run our tungsten matrix and our bismuth velocities is kind of in between that steel velocity and the traditional lead velocities that my dad and a lot of others grew up using and shooting migratory birds with.
Okay, so the speed of lead of steel compensates for its lack of
knockdown,
lack of density. Yeah. So the only way to get the energy in steel, something that's less dense, is you make it go faster.
Okay,
forces mass times acceleration.
That's exactly right. You can't change physics, and through over 20 years of working with our powder suppliers and wad manufacturers, we run our steel velocities higher than most people in the industry, and we deliver solid patterns, safe pressures, consistent performance, and that's why I say, listen, we're often imitated, you know, very rarely ever duplicated, and because we've been doing it so long, and our loads are very, very consistent and fast, and they're going to deliver that energy and make steel really a viable product as well.
That's really interesting, because if you would have asked me before this phone call why it was important that steel fly fast, I would have said it was because it improves your ability to shoot it because you don't have to lead them as much. I never thought about the fact that you needed the velocity
to create the energy.
But I also didn't pay very close attention in physics class, Jeff.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. So to kind of drive that point home, we have three different payloads in 12-gauge 3-inch. We have a 12-gauge 3-inch ounce and an eighth that we push to 1,560 feet per second in our Fast Steel 2.0, ounce and a quarter at 1,500, then an ounce and 3/8 at 1,300. And where our ounce and an eighth does really well is in the northern part of the U.S., in the Midwest, where folks are shooting Canada geese at longer ranges, even though it's a lower payload and less pellets than our 1 3/8 loads, they're using that lighter and faster load because it's delivering more energy on target. Whereas our folks who hunt Arkansas flooded timber, they're much closer range and they don't need all that speed. The pellets, the forgiving pattern, is what they need, and that's why that 1 3/8 load does so well down south.
So that's interesting. So it sounds like you just said something significant that I need you to like do the Cliff Notes version on that one more time. Yeah. So for goose hunters up north who need more energy for better knockdown versus more pellets in the pattern.
Absolutely. Yeah. You go with your velocity and then down south, you know, when you're shooting something close, because if you're shooting at something at 15, 20 yards, you don't need a 1,500 feet per second velocity. Okay, that 1,300 is fine, so we will put more pellets in there and make it a little more forgiving for you. Whereas where you're shooting a little targets at range, you're going to need that velocity, because when you're at 40, 50, or, you know, 40 yards and potentially beyond, you need that speed to give it effective energy.
See, I kind of feel like a Neanderthal now, because now I can see myself at Bass Pro picking out shells and being like, like that shot size, man, this thing's fast. I'm going to kill him now. So, okay, I have a question. This might be letting the beagles out a little soon. But so can you walk me through some of the R&D process? Because you're talking about making a safe load.
Right.
So you were there in the beginning, right? So you and your buddies were the guys who were testing these loads and making these loads. What was that origin of that?
I've only been there for 3 years.
Okay.
But I can tell you a little bit about the R&D that went into it, and it's a continual process.
Sure.
Because powder technologies do change, but really where it lies is our internal ballistics, and most everyone can get a load, a 12 gauge load with an 1 1/8 steel payload to get to 1550 or 1560 feet per second at room temperature. But where the difficult part comes in is at the extreme temperatures, when it's warm or when it's cold. Okay. We support SAMI, which is kind of the industry's governing body in terms of safety and performance. And they set guidelines for extreme temperatures. And what we do is we make sure our internal ballistics are hitting those velocities and those and safe pressures across temperature spectrum. Okay. And it takes some really custom powder blends to get that. And that's something that when you buy a Kent shell, okay, not only is it a consistency issue, but it's also a safety mm-hmm. issue. You know, if you're going to be hunting when it's 0 degrees out and your ammo sat in a dry box in your truck last night in 0 degrees weather, you know it's going to perform safely. Same thing if you get an unseasonably warm snap. Or I was down at the Laguna Madre, Texas, a couple of years ago, it was 80 degrees, you know, shooting ducks. And so you need to know your ammo is performing no matter what conditions you hunt in, and finding those powder blends and developing those loads that give you what you need safely is a hallmark of Kent.
So I'm going to change gears on you and ask you the question that everybody asks us when we go to one of these industry events, like we talked about where we met. Like,
yeah,
what's new for 2019 and what's new for 20? And I'm asking you 19 just because I know that 19 was a big year for you guys.
it certainly was. In 19, we introduced Fast Steel 2.0. So I don't know if I mentioned it, but Fast Steel is the legend. Fast Steel has been around for 20 years. It's our bread and butter product. Everyone pretty much knows Kent Fast Steel. And said, well, how in the world do we improve on this legend that's out there? And so we looked around, and sure enough, powder technologies had improved, and then some hole technologies had improved. And so we put some technology in the product where we made some faster loads, put nickel heads and zinc plated shot for an element of corrosion protection. And then we improved an internal component called a base wad to optimize functioning in semi-auto shotguns. I mean, think about over the last however many years, how many new guns have entered the market.
Mm-hmm.
And operating systems, a lot of import guns. So we needed to change a component, make sure that our ammo would function reliably. I mean, and then also, believe it or not, there's folks who don't clean their guns. So we modified
that. Imagine that.
Yeah.
You're talking to at least one. I won't point any fingers.
Absolutely. And so that was our largest product introduction really since the company began, is sunsetting original Fast Steel and going with Fast Steel 2.0, and with that new technology and a lot of load recipes didn't change, but there was a few that we pushed a little faster, like a 12 gauge 3-inch ounce and ounce and a quarter. It used to be 1425, but with powder technologies changing, we can push it to 1500 with negligible increase in felt recoil and pattern uniformity that was very similar to the original Fast Steel. Another one, 12 gauge three and a half inch ounce and three or ounce and 9/16 was a hallmark of Kent. 1300 feet per sec, great load. We realized we could sacrifice about 8 or 12 pellets, depending on the shot size, BBs or twos, and get a velocity increase of 150 feet per second. So now we're running a 3.5-inch load, ounce and a half payload at 1,450 feet per second. So we felt that added velocity and energy was certainly worth sacrificing a few pellets for. So that was really 2019, and we expanded on our offering, our broad offering, this year in 2020 with some additional shot sizes. Number three and 12 gauge 3.5-inch ounce and 3/8, certainly a great load, and some 2 3/4-inch offerings that with number three shot, because we do see that coming on nationally in our most popular configuration.
And you guys have, I'm gonna make a statement, I guess, and kind of ask a rhetorical question, but because of your positioning in the market and kind of the how well you've done with your R&D and production, have y'all done okay this year in terms of being able to deliver product? I know a lot of the shell manufacturers I've heard from are struggling to just get the raw components. But y'all make some of your raw components, right?
We do. Part of our corporation, we have three facilities, one in Canada, which is a warehouse and sales office for Canada. But then we have a facility, Gameboard, in the UK, that produces all of our proprietary shots. So that's where we make our proprietary bismuth, our tungsten matrix, and then our lead diamond shot for upland hunters, and then our target load. So our proprietary products are made in the UK, but it is under the same umbrella.
Mm-hmm. So, having a factory, I'm going to rabbit trail now. You said you have a factory in Canada. Did that mean that you got essential business permission to go to Canada during duck season?
Wasn't able to do that.
I was hoping you might be one of the only Americans who actually got a shot.
We will love to swung that. Last year, I had an epic trip up to Canada. I mean, if anyone hasn't gone, you need to go. I mean, it is amazing. But no, unfortunately not. But they're having a great year. Our warehouse and sales office up there in Canada that takes care of that market. They're having a great year. We're having an exceptional year. It's going to be a tremendous year. It's just a crazy year with the pandemic, and you're seeing folks maybe go back to their roots a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being involved in a million different activities, some of them are getting canceled. They're not going to NFL or college football games. They're taking their family hunting.
Yep.
And that's important to me personally, important to our industry, that maybe we reintroduce these folks to the outdoors. And that's, sure, that's really important. I hope we keep some of this increased participation that we're seeing.
Yeah. It's impressive how different our social lives are. Like, I know Corona and COVID's not over, but we're I feel like we're on the backside of completely being shut down. Maybe that's a premature statement. I hope it's not. But it's impressive to me how different this fall has been at a family level with our social calendar. You know, just ball games and sporting events and just – I mean, there's still some stuff going on, but it's nowhere near what it was. You know, it's kind of like we've all kind of hit a reset button.
Exactly. And we see it in fishing. Fishing saw a great increase in participation. We know from early reads here that hunting is going to see the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's great. I hope maybe when the dust settles that there's more balance and those of us that enjoy to hunt and it can get youth involved that we keep this increased participation.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as a veteran, I've been to Canada 13 times, 13 years. And I've been to Canada for 13 years. Sorry, my tongue got tied there. And as a guy who didn't get to go this year, I feel like, Jeff, if Trudeau doesn't open the border, I need to get some priority in terms of an internship or something at the Canada a facility for next fall, because I'm not sure I can skip another year.
Or some sort of R&D position.
I'm sure we need to repeat that.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to join you, too.
All right, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, is there anything – I mean, can you think of anything else we need to know? I mean, I guess my own personal testimony is – I think the crew shot 10 or 11 cases last year. Of course, a lot of that was in Canada. And then this spring, you know, goose hunting and stuff. And we thought it all performed amazing. I mean, so I realize the whole world probably looks at me and thinks that I'm biased. But, the proof's in the pudding. I got some pretty good footage to show for it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yes, you do, and I guess what I'll say about Kent is we don't make an opening price point product. Everything is designed to perform and then also deliver value. So what we say is we're the most affordable premium product out there.
Yep.
And we don't have a lot of gimmicks. We just have performance.
I love that.
Okay. You know, our pellets are round. They're uniform, because that's the key to dense, even patterns, is that uniformity. We don't have a lot of odd-shaped stuff, okay, because we want everything to pattern for folks, have nice, forgiving patterns out there. And the differences may be subtle from some of the products on the market, but they're meaningful differences that you're going to see in the field, and we're affordable. So mm-hmm. If you tried a box of Kent, hey, go out, try a box, you'll love it. You'll come back for a case or two. And again, I'm biased too, but man, I love working for this company because we stay true to our roots and we want to see folks succeed in the field.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, that what you just said about being a fairly priced or a modestly priced premium product is very well said, and it perfectly illustrates why our two companies have so well aligned, because that's the same ethos that we want to portray and in terms of the products that we build. You know, we want to build a product that when you buy it, you don't think I got a deal necessarily, but you feel like that you bought something that was of higher value than what you actually paid for it. So not a bottom dollar thing, you know, but you got a premium product at a fair or even below fair, you know, a good deal. And the gimmick thing is, I understand why companies do it, because man, you know, when you have those big box stores breathing down your neck about how many new SKUs this year and what's different and what's, you know, what are you going to do for us? And you're trying to recreate the wheel. And it's like, you know, like we make vanilla ice cream, but man, it, you know, people love vanilla ice cream. Like it works. That's hard, you know, and it takes a lot of integrity to do that, because you don't want to every year go, oh, you know what, we recreated steel shot, or we recreated the single reed duck call. I mean, that's a challenge. That's one of the biggest challenges people don't know about in our industry.
That's exactly right. And it's just, it's going to be getting the word out about the performance of the products. And yeah, the differences might be subtle, but it's getting the word out and then getting folks to try it and come back for more.
Yep. Well, good deal. Well, thank you, Jeff, very much for spending some time with us. And thank you for all that you do for us at Kent. And thank you that you have shells. This would be an awkward conversation.
not much longer. We are thin as all get out right now, and that's a good problem to have for sure. But Spence and Rob, really appreciate the opportunity to be on, and thank you guys very much.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you guys, and hope y'all have a good evening in West Virginia.
Hey, you guys do as well, and we'll talk soon.
All right, see you, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye. Pretty cool, huh?
Very.
Kind of mind-blowing. I mean, there's so many similarities. I mean, they're different companies, but there's so many similarities to me between what they do. Of course, they're, 10-15-year-older company than Rolling Thunder, but
sure.
It is so, I know personally what a challenge it is to try to, like, you feel like you did something good. Like, hey, we made this one duck call. Like, it's the best duck call. You only need one duck call. And then 12 months from now, it's like, you need this duck call too.
This thing and this other feature. And I don't know. I think it says a lot about a company to stick to what you know.
Yep.
And not feel like you have to play that game of,
yep,
we're going to try to just chase the new and
right,
everything else like that.
Right. It really is. It's such a challenge. And when you put big dollars involved and put people behind closed doors around a boardroom table, I mean, it's like, man, I don't fault anybody because I get it. I mean, you need to, whatever you did last year was great for last year, but you need to do 10% more this year, 20% more. So, exactly. I mean, it's.
But when you can also find two companies that align or on the same page, it takes all the pressure off.
Yeah, that's when a partnership works really well. And that's absolutely what's cool is the guy that actually, there were two different people that introduced me to Jeff at Rogers that year, and both of them independently said, man, like Rolling Thunder needs to work with Kent. And they didn't know that the other one was doing the same thing. And so it was two different guys. One was a sales rep who reps several different brands and a competition caller, just a good guy I've known for a long time. And the other was actually a national sales manager for Lucky Duck. And both of them, independent of one another, were like, hey, I'm going to come over here. I'm going to introduce you to Jeff. Like, you need to shoot Kent. And I was like, okay. And they had no idea that I really needed a
– you needed to find some shells.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, totally. I needed a shell relationship. And, of course, I'd shot tons of Kent before, so it's wonderful. But, anyways, it – so I appreciate Jeff and I appreciate Kent because, it's hard. Man, it's hard to keep doing something really well and stay relevant at the same time. Like the gimmicky kind of new, what's new and what's the latest, greatest tends to be the – and flashy stuff, tends to be what gets people's attention. And so,
well, I also think they did the rebrand really well.
Really well. Yep.
Yeah. Cause it didn't feel like it was just this new product or like, oh, well, somebody came in and bought us and we're redoing this thing. It was like, no, we're the same company.
Yep.
We're the same guys. Just the box isn't green anymore.
Yep. And they didn't increase their price, which means a lot to me because in today's world, I mean, rebranding typically means, hey, we're going to add on 25% or 18%. And then, in today's world where shotgun shells are $25, $26, $29 a box, I mean, most places you can still find a case of Kent's for between $150 and $199. And it's a hell of a shell for $15 a box.
Shoot on it the whole season.
Yep.
For sure.
So.
Well, so you're back from North Dakota. Obviously, we've talked about that at length. And, I mean,
I've almost thought out.
You're almost thawed out?
Almost. Still feel a little tingly in my toes and my fingers.
it definitely. And then Blake and them are up there too. And we've met up with them and talked to them already. But I mean, now you're kind of switching gears a little bit to some other hunts. Are you staying? What's kind of
going to Kansas next week? Actually, this weekend hunt with Jed, taking a bunch of little boys from Tripp's class. So that'll be pretty exciting. And then
now, is that the youth season or are you just
– No, that's just regular season. I think they're open and rolling their regular season. Yeah. It's just a good chance to take the little boys and
– Totally.
Yeah, let them
– A little early, not too cold yet.
Hopefully.
It's working down. I saw Jed was pulling water, and they're doing all sorts of stuff out there.
Yep. And that's kind of the drill around here, too. You know, we're trying to catch water in several places. And
yep.
Had lunch yesterday with Jeff Farmer at White Oaks, and they're just – it's ignorant how many ducks he's holding.
Already?
Yeah. Oh,
jeez.
Yeah. It's like I'm pretty sure – I wish I knew how many ducks we were looking at on the last day that we were in North Dakota on Thursday – that beat us home because they can fly faster.
I believe it.
You know. And
oh, yeah.
Because he's definitely got them. But.
Yeah, Blake was saying that they're starting to start holding birds, too.
Yeah.
Starting to come in. Because he was pumping water, morning, and he kind of looks up, and he goes, oh.
There they were.
They found it. They're just waiting on us.
Crazy. So, they're coming.
Okay.
Time to brush your blind. We got a frost last night. And if you're a blind brusher, you know, you're supposed to do that before the first frost. Well, now you've got one. So.
Uh-oh.
Don't miss it between the second frost because you're every frost is a few more leaves you lose.
It's a good point. It's a good point. And then I guess I'll be following you up there the next weekend.
To Kansas?
Yeah.
One of the two of us is going to get them good.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's us. No offense to Tripp and the kids.
Yeah. Well.
I hope to smoke them.
I hope it's us. Cause I'll be home the weekend you're up there. You know.
No, that's fair. I think that's all part of it. Yeah. If somebody's got to shoot him, I'd rather it be me.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, but it's fun. My Ben and I, my friend Jordan, are coming up there. And
speaking of Ben, do you have a report from Ben?
Ben's having a tough time out in Nebraska. Sorry if I'm calling you out, Ben. I know you can't control the flight of the birds, but it's been real warm.
Mm.
He said he's been in short sleeves
Yeesh. Two
or three days, and I think they're coming back tomorrow. So when this airs, they're coming back. So they're gonna come back Thursday or Friday, and it is, I mean, it's not it. They're right on the front edge of a cold front. Mm-hmm. So they have birds. They see them. They've gotten some teal and some other stuff, but they just haven't been. I'm really hoping tomorrow, so today for you at home, I hope they can get on them and hope we have a good report. Right now, I'm seeing some sunrises over
here. We've all been there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So, early wood duck flight.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But.
Oh, man. Well, Ben, if you choose to take the whipping on the ride back and listen, I'm very sorry.
You'll get them. We'll get them, Ben. Because Ben's going to be on that trip, too.
Oh, good. Kansas. Turn around and go to Kansas?
Yeah. So, Ben and I are doing a kind of a crazy run where he's in Nebraska. He's coming. They had a tough go of it, too. Like, before they left, they had to, like, cut a piece of the fender off because something was wrong with how the tire was sitting. So, they just cut 2 inches of the fender off and were like, let's go. And then they got the Dyersburg, and then he was having truck issues.
Oh.
So, they had to turn around, drive back, swap truck, swap trailer, drive.
Oh.
So, they're a little late. And so, anyway, I think if Ben's luck in Nebraska – was any indication of what we might have in Kansas. I feel like he's due.
Mm-hmm.
He's due. So he's coming back, and then the next weekend I'll be in Wyoming. So I'm looking forward to that. Never been out there. Hope it's cold and hope there's full of mallards.
I bet it will be. I've only been to Wyoming to turkey hunt. I've never been to waterfowl hunt. But
I don't know a thing, but from the guys I'm hunting with out there and shooting for, they're in them.
Yeah, they're either really good at doctoring up Instagram vids or –
yeah.
Or
well, it's tough when it's time stamped, but, man, it looks great. And, you know, I was talking to them, and I was talking about, you know, coming out there, and they're like, don't bring any bunker busters. You need to bring 20-gauge only.
Wow.
Because he's like, we shoot them at 15 yards.
Dang.
He's like, that's it. Because they
I like it.
Where they are, it's North Platte River.
Yep.
Real skinny water. And then there's places where the blind is, the birds land below
you. Shooting down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're shooting down, but if nothing else, they're close.
So you're going to hunt ag fields and then small water on the Platte, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I'm getting a little goofy about it. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
So it should be a good time. But, Spence, anything else going on in the Rolling Thunder world?
Man, about to drop some pretty hot North Dakota footage.
I'm excited about it. I got a little preview last night.
It's legit. Looks,
God. Dylan did a great job, Dylan and Jason.
It's legit, for sure.
It's good stuff.
Some of the best mallard, dry field mallard hunting we've ever gotten, for real. So it's Yeah,
this is one of those trips where the pictures didn't do reality justice.
Nah. No, it really didn't.
No, because when I saw the video, I was like, oh, it was good.
Yeah, real good.
It wasn't just good. It was great. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
It's pretty sporty for sure. So this we got enough stuff. We're gonna make two really cool episodes out of it.
Awesome.
And so it'll be pretty neat. So
cool. Do y'all have a schedule for those, or they're just gonna sneak up on people?
So the schedule is kind of based on how good Dylan's hunting is. Mm. So you know, I get a lot of attention in between windows of Dylan's hunting season. So right now there's not anything to shoot in Missouri.
So that editing's coming along.
Yeah, it's coming along pretty good. So we were on the phone on the way over here. So I don't know if we'll get the first episode of North Dakota out this week or if it'll be the first to next week, but he's about done with it. And both of them were – he's kind of got the framework of them both done. So they'll be kind of boom, boom. And
just don't drop it at 9 o'clock in the morning so I have to stop working.
Oh, man, that's the classic time. I mean
– it's a good point.
We always debate about that. But if you drop it early enough at work – you catch all the, you know, all the morning poopers and the lunchtime shifters and the nighttime sit around and check their social media same day.
That's a really good point. No, because there's definitely been a time where Ben's talked about this before, but I was watching the gobbler, mm-hmm. 1,000-pound gobbler. I'm watching it, and then somebody just like opens my office door, and it's like, and it's like a, you know, and it's like, don't you knock? Like, golly, no respect. But anyway, so.
Well, good.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast.
Yeah, go shoot some Kent cartridge later.
Not tonight.